This is Sandy Floria. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. I think because it really encourages me to slow down and take notice of life around me. We have so much to be thankful for. This year, I have been reminded of the generosity of so many of you, our Compassion Radio partners. Thank you for your notes and emails of encouragement and prayer support for this ministry as we've gone through so much transition this year. And now, as we look toward the new year, we want you to know we value your partnership more than ever. We are committed to bring you the stories of God's work around the world, but we can't do it without you. Will you prayerfully consider a special gift toward the ongoing ministry of Compassion Radio? Thank you, and happy Thanksgiving from the Floria family and all of us at Compassion Radio.
Persecution is not a common experience of North American Christians, but there are places in this world where the words of Jesus are literally a daily experience. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Of course, things can change, and the time could come when we too will be persecuted for our faith in Christ. It makes me wonder, if persecution came to us, how would I handle it? How would you?
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Hello, friends. Hope your Thanksgiving was extra special.
And welcome to the Daily Journal of what God is doing in the world's most interesting and challenging places. What happens when you walk a mile in another man's shoes? Well, hopefully something transformational. It's the best tool for gaining perspective, that's for sure. And for the Christian, it's a daily call, especially since it's a road the Lord Himself has walked before us. If you want a stout heart, strong legs, and a confident grasp, well, it's going to take a little exercise. And that's probably not such a bad idea
after Thanksgiving celebrations.
Well, today, Norm invites us to join him on a spiritual trek with some of our brothers and sisters who have found real spiritual power in persecution.
First of all, persecution is the constant context of the New Testament writings. Oh, we forget about that fact sometimes, but it is absolutely true. And secondly, persecution is promised to all of those who follow Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So we'd better bring it up in order to be both obedient and prepared. This radio ministry has a connection to persecuted believers because of our global vision and because of our missionary involvement. We send Bibles to persecuted Christians. Our ministry listeners and partners travel together to countries where we meet persecuted believers face to face. And in the last few weeks, a Chinese pastor that we know has been imprisoned, and Christian refugees whom we visited on the Thai-Burmese border have been killed and wounded by mortar fire from their hostile government. So, persecution for the sake of Jesus Christ is close to the heart of this radio ministry. Now, we're going to be talking today about finding power through Christ in the midst of persecution for His sake. I want to share some words from an article by the widely syndicated columnist Mona Charon. It's called Ignoring Christian Martyrs. She writes, Lai Man Peng was a 22-year-old Chinese Christian evangelist. In the meeting of one of China's house churches, a non-government-sanctioned prayer meeting, he and four other evangelists were seized by agents of the Public Security Bureau, China's KGB. And by the way, I insert parenthetically here, these are the agents who followed us in China back in October of 1995. In front of the congregation, Mr. Lai and the others were beaten severely. The security officers next handed the truncheons to the congregants and ordered them to beat the preachers on pain of being beaten themselves. Mr. Lai was so badly injured that the security team feared that he would die in their presence, leaving too much to explain. So they released him. He crawled and hobbled for several miles, attempting to reach his home, but he finally collapsed and died on the road. Such persecution is commonplace in China, where only a fraction of the Christians belong to government-approved churches. Amnesty International reports cases of Christian women hung by their thumbs from wires and beaten with heavy rods, denied food and water, and shocked with electric probes. Elsewhere in the world, Christians face other tortures and persecutions. In Egypt and Pakistan, Christians have been imprisoned and tortured merely for preaching their faith. Pakistan recently passed a blasphemy law that forbids speaking or acting against the Prophet Muhammad. The punishment for violators is death. A 12-year-old Christian child was recently sentenced to death under this law and was freed from Pakistan only by international pressure. He is now hiding in a Western country with a bounty on his head. In the Sudan, in Africa, its government has engaged in a policy of forcible conversion. Many of the Sudanese in the southern part of the country, the north is Arab, have resisted conversion in many cases because of adherence to Christianity, a criminal act under Sudanese law. As punishment, the Sudanese government has denied food and medicine to Christians in famine areas and has sold thousands of Christian children, some as young as 6 years old, into slavery. Where is the international outcry? The silence of American Christians is particularly hard to understand since they have been so unstinting in their support of others in need. But when Michael Horowitz of the Manhattan Institute published an op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal last July on persecution of Christians, the response was a resounding silence. Steve Snyder of International Christian Concern, a human rights group, offers some insights. American Christians, he notes, have been sheltered from persecution themselves for three centuries. While they have supported missionaries overseas, they have not necessarily kept faith with those whom they have succeeded in converting. Putting it bluntly, Mr. Snyder says Christians have forgotten how to take care of their own. They've lost sight of Christ's injunction that the world will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. Above all, American Christians are ill-informed. If one major TV magazine program aired a segment on what is actually happening to Christians, the apathy would be gone in a flash. Child slavery, false imprisonment, torture, murder. It is all happening to Christians in many countries of the world. How long will the world's largest Christian community stay silent? Persecution, as we all know, has been a part of the Christian experience from the very beginning. The early church was a persecuted church. Now, I think in all honesty, that's something that's rather difficult for most of us to identify with. Certainly very few of us know what it's like to suffer persecution as a result of our faith in Christ. Oh, we may have suffered occasional indignities and misunderstandings and inconveniences as a consequence of our commitment to the Lord. But persecution, for most of us, it's hardly a reality. Now, I think we ought to be clear about what persecution is. According to Webster, persecution means to afflict or harass constantly so as to injure or distress. I think that's a helpful definition. You see, the thing which distinguishes persecution from other forms of abuse is that it's constant, intentional, and often systematic in its application. And that's what makes persecution so difficult to bear. You know, nothing is really unbearable if it's experienced only once and then briefly. It's when cruelty is incessant that it has the power to break us down. And that's what persecution is all about. Now, the Apostle Paul was a man who was persecuted for his faith in the strictest sense of the word. Nowhere do we see this more clearly than during his days in Jerusalem following his third missionary journey. Acts chapter 21 tells us that the Jews in that city seized the apostle in a fit of mob violence, and that they justified their action with a false accusation that Paul had defiled the temple by bringing a Gentile into its sacred precincts. That mob would have killed Paul in the streets had it not been for the intervention of Roman soldiers who arrested him and put him into prison. From this moment on, the experience of Paul is one of continual oppression and imprisonment until the day of his execution. Now, that may seem to be an extraordinary thing to us, but it was the normal state of affairs for thousands of those earliest Christians.
You and I consider the suffering which Paul and those other believers of his day endured, and we say to ourselves, how could they stand it? We're plagued with a strong feeling of doubt concerning our ability to hold fast to our confession of Christ, should persecution ever come our way. How about it? Do you think that you would persevere in the midst of persecution? Would I? Are we as firm in conviction, as courageous in trouble, as those New Testament saints? Well, it's natural for us to think that way, but may I suggest to you today that we're taking the wrong approach to this issue when we focus our attention on the capacity of the early Christians to keep their spiritual integrity in the midst of persecution and suffering. The question is not, how do we compare to them? The real question is God still able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us? You see, the secret of Paul's heroic stand under persecution was not his own natural power. It was the power of God that worked in him. The secret of the early Christians' incredible faithfulness under unspeakable oppression was not their own intestinal fortitude. It was the internal toughening which the Spirit of God provided for them. And you see, this is the message which underlies everything that Paul endured as we read the account of it in the book of Acts. My friend, most of us have never been persecuted for our faith. But it could happen. Believe me, it could. History shows us how fast things can change. We're not immune from persecution. And then again, there are some listening right now who are being persecuted for their faith. At home, at school, in prisons, and elsewhere. So, how do we deal with persecution when it comes to us? Let's take a look at what happened to Paul and see if we can discover how to have power in the midst of persecution. We read that when Paul was arrested, the Roman soldiers had to pick him up and carry him because the violence of the mob against him was so great. And yet, Paul, rather than asking for the refuge of a cell, took his position on the stairway high above the crowd, and he preached concerning his divine commission to preach the gospel to everybody, including the Gentiles. At this point, Paul was hurried into the Roman barracks and bound in preparation for a beating. Once again, Paul reacted without flinching, informing a centurion that he was a Roman citizen. You see, it was a crime to scourge a Roman citizen. The text tells us that immediately those who were about to examine him withdrew from him, and the commander was also afraid because he had bound him. Well, the next day, Paul was taken before the Sanhedrin to be interrogated. But again, Paul exhibited uncanny cleverness under pressure. Now, the Sanhedrin was composed of both Sadducees and Pharisees, two prestigious religious parties who were divided over the issue of whether or not there was a resurrection of the dead. And Paul used this historic controversy to disorganize his interrogators. He said, "I am a Pharisee, and I am being judged concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead." Well, the result was an outburst of dissension and violence within the Sanhedrin, and once again, Paul disarmed his enemies with a proclamation of the truth. It's an impressive performance, isn't it? Especially in the face of this pressure of persecution. So, how did Paul do it? Was it his own courage or cleverness or conviction? Well, Paul did possess those things. But they are not sufficient as the explanation under these severe circumstances. The answer is evident, I believe, in Acts chapter 23, verse 11. Here's what we read. "And the Lord stood by him and said, 'Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must bear witness also at Rome.'"
If persecution is a reality, what should be our response? Around here is the God's Word for China campaign.
You can give Bibles to people in China who are hungry to read God's Word. Listen to this. For every Bible that is distributed in China, five people come to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, during this month, we're providing you the opportunity to send Bibles to China through our annual Operation God's Word campaign. To date, our Operation God's Word campaign has provided about 400,000 copies of the Word of God to people in China. As you may or may not know, the growth rate of Christianity in China is the greatest in the 2,000-year history of Christianity. Just think of it.
Miracles are happening in China right now through the power of God's Word. Just give us a call. 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we can be found on the internet at CompassionRadio.com. And now, back to the program.
Was it his own courage or cleverness or conviction? Well, Paul did possess those things. But they are not sufficient as the explanation under these severe circumstances. The answer is evident, I believe, in Acts chapter 23, verse 11. Here's what we read. And the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must bear witness also at Rome. Now, three things catch our attention here. First of all, God supported Paul by standing by him. Secondly, God encouraged Paul by speaking to him. And thirdly, God affirmed Paul by sending him. First of all, God supported Paul by standing by him. Those words, and the Lord stood by him, tell us that in the midst of persecution, God was there, sharing the burden with Paul. That's why the apostle could stand where others would have fallen. Now, my friend, God does not desert his people when they're caught in intolerable circumstances. Do you know what the Lord said regarding the psalmist? He said, I will be with him in trouble. My friend, even in the most hellish sort of persecution and trouble, you and I can handle it. Why? Because God stands by and he supports us with his strength. Then secondly, God encouraged Paul by speaking to him. The text puts it like this, The Lord said, Be of good cheer, Paul. Now, some versions translate it, The Lord said, Take courage, Paul. Where the words of men are concerned, the saying is often true that talk is cheap. But the words of God are different. They're reliable and they're powerful. And when God speaks, things happen. The Lord can say in Isaiah 55, My word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. You see, when God spoke his word of courage, Take courage, Paul, God also gave courage to the one to whom he spoke. Paul was courageous in persecution because he was filled with God's word of courage. My friend, here's what the Lord says to us. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. That is, take courage, for I have overcome the world. Friend, take courage in persecution. God gives it to you in his word. Then third and finally, God affirmed Paul by sending him. Here's what he said. Just as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so must you bear witness to me also at Rome. Persecution and trouble are often interpreted by people as the sign of God's rejection of them. They see suffering as the evidence that God has no more place for them in his purpose and plan. But that's not true. Suffering is used as an instrument of redemptive power. The death of Christ demonstrates that fact. Listen to what Peter said to the persecuted Christians of Asia Minor. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you. If you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. You see, my friend, God affirmed Paul in the midst of his persecution by assuring him that he would be sent to Rome as God's witness in chains. God uses the persecution and the suffering of his servants for his glory, and that makes persecution a privilege. It was Tertullian, that ancient father of the church, who said, We multiply whenever we are mown down. The blood of Christians is the seed of the church. Friend, don't fear persecution. Don't give up in the midst of suffering. Remember, God stands by you, and He speaks courage to you, and He sends and equips you to win His victory. Claim that power today, my friend. It's yours.
Well, my friend, when the Communist Revolution came to power in 1949 and began its brutal, unrestrained policy of destroying all vestiges of Christianity in the country, all churches, all Christian literature, all pastors, all Christian education and observances were banned. If ever Christians in China had a reason to despair, that was the time. But they did not lose their confidence. They trusted wholly in Christ, and the result? Christianity is growing faster in China today than has ever happened in the 2,000-year history of Christianity. So, what does this mean for you and for me? Well, once again, we're giving you the privilege to provide Bibles for China during this year's annual Operation God's Word campaign. Actually, we're challenging you to make two commitments. First of all, to offer your gift of prayer for Chinese Christians as a time commitment. And secondly, we're challenging you to make your gift of Bibles for Chinese Christians as a financial commitment. Now, let me ask you this question. Are our suffering house church brothers and sisters in China worthy to have Bibles to read in order to gain strength and comfort for their courageous witness for Jesus Christ? If your answer is yes, then please confirm your yes by providing Bibles for these brothers and sisters through our year-end Operation God's Word project. That's also your way of declaring, in these tough times in America, I am so confident in Christ that I'm investing in the power of God's Word for China and in His faithfulness to provide for my needs. Man, it doesn't get any better than that. Now, wouldn't it be great if this year we could put 10,000 Bibles in the hands of Chinese Christians? Oh, my friend, during this year-end season, you can give the greatest gift of all, the Word of God. And you can give God's Word to Christians in China who are changing the world's most populous nation through the message of the gospel contained in that book. Now don't forget, for every Bible you donate, it is estimated that 5 Chinese people will come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's exciting. Now, finally, if you believe in the message and the ministry of Compassion Radio, we also urgently need your financial partnership for the expenses of these broadcasts. And so I ask you today, please help us. But most of all, get involved in this exciting project. You'll be glad that you did.
A gift of as little as $6 can provide a brand new copy of God's Word to someone who really, truly wants one. Your gift of $60 will provide 10 new Bibles to Chinese believers who are winning people to faith in Jesus Christ right now. One new Bible means 5 new believers. Just imagine what 100, 200, 500, or 1,000 new Bibles could do. The toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And you can reach us on the Internet 24/7 at CompassionRadio.com. We look forward to hearing from you today. I'm Bram Floria. On behalf of all of us at Compassion Radio, thanks for joining us today.
And enjoy the rest of your Thanksgiving holiday.